Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Monday, April 1st, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, we've got a leader look. House Speaker Mike Johnson and Hakeem Jeffries are doing. Number two, the latest on Israel. And number three, the canvas, who K Street thinks will be Donald Trump's running mate. All right, Jake, let's get into it. It is a recess week here in Washington. Both the Senate and House are out. We only have AM editions this week. But with that, we're taking the opportunity to do a leader look, focusing first on Speaker Mike Johnson and then House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Later in the week, we'll be following up with the Senate leaders. But let's take a look at Mike Johnson. It is his five-month anniversary. The big question, can he make it to six?
Yeah, it's a good question. And by the way, I feel obligated to remind people that today's April Fool's Day because I always fall for some stupid, like, thing on April Fool's Day. And I'm like, whoa, that's happening? And I'm like, no, it's actually April Fool's Day. So whatever, it's April Fool's Day. Don't fall for anything stupid.
Life advice from Jason.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, okay. So about 5, 6, 7 days ago was the anniversary of Mike Johnson's being elected to the speakership. He's got, it seems like, you know, he keeps trying to move on. Or maybe he's not actively trying to do it, but it seems like Congress is about to move on from really hard legislating and then something smacks him in the face, and needs to be dealt with, which is, I guess, part of the job. Marjorie Taylor Greene filed that motion to vacate just a couple weeks ago, March 22nd. We'll see if she actually brings that up to a vote. That is, he has to take that very seriously. Due to obvious reasons, Kevin McCarthy being the obvious reason number one. But let's talk about a few things. Ukraine, no good options for Johnson here. He has no cards, no leverage, zero. He could try to add things to the bill, but he needs Democratic votes to do anything he wants to do. So that is that. The key to, for him is finding the least painful option, Anna, on Ukraine. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it gets complicated, and we're going to get into that with the number two item about what's happening in Israel and kind of growing frustration among Democrats there. I think how he deals with Ukraine is going to be one that everyone is watching, right? He already clearly has frustrations on his right flank with MTG doing the motion, filing that motion. And then you also have the big question. I mean, this has been out there for quite a long time. Massive pressure on him from members of his own party, whether that's Mitch McConnell or others, certainly this White House. But he's not showing his hand. I mean, I think he's played this one extremely close to the vest.
That's right. Let's move on. Number two, the impeachment inquiry, that's going nowhere, and Johnson has to tread carefully so he doesn't alienate Donald Trump and allies on Capitol Hill. We don't have to spend a lot of time on that. We've written a ton about the impeachment inquiry and the political mess it's become. FISA renewal needs to do that in the next 18 days. He's relying on negotiations between Jim Jordan and Mike Turner to get that done. And then last but not least on Johnson, the Francis Scott Key Bridge / disaster supplemental. A little bit of internal dissent here. I think this is going to be difficult. Brez thinks I'm overrating it. I think it's going to be very difficult. I think this is going to be, you know, there's going to be people in the House Republican Conference who say, well, a ship ran into it. Why don't they pay it? Of course, they're going to have to pay part of it, but insurance claims take a long time. This is a major thoroughfare over the Baltimore Harbor, carrying 30,000-something cars a day. And the administration's going to want other priorities in here. It's going to be a mess, Anna.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important. This disaster supplemental can't be, I don't think it can be understated. Certainly, one, it's going to take time. You know, it's going to take a lot of political effort and will. And I think the big question is, I mean, this is going to be something where he would be looking to Democrats to, I'm sure, you know, get it over the finish line. And I think, like a lot of things that 10 years ago would have seemed like, okay, snap their fingers and they're ready to move on something, you know, 4 or 5 days later, I assume this takes quite a bit more time to kind of figure out the contours of it. Also, you know, we already have started to see some of the messaging that this isn't, you know, this isn't a Baltimore issue. This is a national security issue.
That's
does
right.
that resonate with members of Johnson's conference? That's something I don't think we've kind of seen, it, you know, where that ends up. Let's move on to the House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. You know, he, Jake, I was thinking about this when I was reading this morning, is the idea of kind of how much power he has as a minority leader. Usually when you're in the minority, you have no power, one, in the House, and two, kind of coming after Speaker Nancy Pelosi, right? The kind of her history, probably one of the most productive legislators of our lifetime. But Jeffries really does have so much power when you're in a one vote margin in the House.
That's right. He has the ability to basically shoehorn his priorities or to stop Republicans from doing things that Democrats don't like, which is a huge amount of power. You know, we're at a point, Anna, where literally the if there's a couple absences or there's a Codell that gets in late or whatever, there's a death, God forbid, in someone's family on Capitol Hill or whatever. Democrats have the majority, which is crazy to think about. And Johnson would have to just stop business for the day. But that's a daunting thing to think about. And if it gives Jeffries a tremendous amount of power. On top of that, he is shellacking the NRCC in fundraising. They have $45 million on hand and raised $8.1 million last month. The D-Trip has $59 million on hand, raised $14 million. CLF is beating the HMP, the Democratic counterpart, by, you know, about $8 million on hand. But still, this is a Jeffries has a tough road back to the majority, tougher than most people thought. But what a huge delta between the two fundraising apparatuses.
All right, let's move on to the number two story of the morning. As the crisis in Rafah grows more serious by the day, President Joe Biden continues to struggle with how to respond amid growing pressure from lawmakers in his own party. The situation has not been made any easier by the continued instability inside Israel, where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government lurches from crisis to crisis. Put this into context for us, Jake. I mean, I think obviously we've been following this very closely, in so much as not only what the conflict in the Middle East, certainly the U.S. support of Israel, the fact that the Israel funding is tied to Ukraine funding. And for so long, it was kind of Ukraine was the link that a lot of people were focused on as why that package might not move forward. But now you really have some consternation in the Democratic Party about, you know, the war in Israel and the shape that it's taking place.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think the Biden has... This has become a domestic political issue for Biden, and despite his warnings, so there's a lot going on here. Israel has a lot of aid. Israel, the intelligence apparatus in Israel, the military apparatus is funded a lot, is largely funded by the United States, and the United States does not want Israel to go into Rafah, a city in Gaza, where there's a lot of refugees and displaced people and things like that. Israel says it's the only way to root out Hamas is to go into Rafah, and we will do it. That's Israel saying this. We will do it with or without the United States. So that's a very difficult situation for Joe Biden, and there is going to be, I think, Axios's Barak Ravid scooped yesterday that there's going to be a video call today between the two governments to try to figure out if there are other options besides going into Rafah. But Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been uninterested in hearing other options because he is hell-bent on going into Rafah come hell or high water.
All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning. We have our monthly tracking poll of Washington insiders, the Canvas, this month looking at K Street leaders. 54%, Jake, believe Senator Tim Scott, the Republican from South Carolina, will be former President Donald Trump's running mate in 2024. Scott, of course, ran his own brief presidential campaign before dropping out and endorsing Trump. The top Republican on the Senate Banking Committee, Scott is and has been for a while seen as a rising star in GOP politics. He's a name that we've batted about, among others, but interesting that K Street picks Scott.
Well, Anna, K Street might be, this might be wishful thinking by K Street. I have no idea. I mean, none of us know. But there is a, Tim Scott, I would say, is probably one of the more safe options for K Street, for corporate America, Anna, as we head into the season in which Donald Trump is probably going to have to name his running mate, obviously in the next 3 months, you know, 4 months. I mean, we're already in April. So, I would say that, it is a, how do we put this lightly? This is, I don't know if it's wishful thinking, but, I would say K Street and corporate America are probably looking for a vice president that is the least controversial of all the crop of people that they might consider.
Very true. Others on their list, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, Elise Stefanik, House GOP conference chair, as well as GOP Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders from Arkansas and Senator J.D. Vance from Ohio. We'll have to see if K Street was prescient or, as you pointed out, maybe just looking for some wishful thinking there. With that, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. If you like the Daily Punch, please share it on social media. Tell your friends. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. You can also go deeper on all these stories and more by signing up for our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.